The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include: pandemic delivered long-term changes for local restaurants, and Google bringing up to 1,000 jobs for a new cloud hub in Durham. Everyone remembers their last meal, the last one that felt normal, maskless, and easy, the last one elbow to elbow with stranger when dining rooms were called cozy and intimate. We didn't know it at the time, but there was a moment when the world went from changed to changed. For restaurants, that moment was on or around March 17, 2020, when North Carolina closed its dining rooms to help control the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. When things break apart, they don't always fit back together. With restaurants, the changes may be long-term. The pandemic normalized things like takeout and delivery and brought conversations about pay and equity to the forefront. I think a pandemic speeds up time and makes us innovate, said Raleigh restaurant owner Sean Dignan. I think it also stops time and makes us reflect. I think we did both. We're all a little different because we've lived this year. These are among the top ways the restaurant scene is different now than it was a year ago, and these changes are likely to stay. Takeout will continue to reign. The cooks at Postmaster and Carey found that people weren't willing to pay $20 for beef short rib dish in a takeout box, but they would pay more than $10 for a gooey cheeseburger wrapped in aluminum foil. We realized the burger was basically the only thing that was selling, Chris Lopez said. We sat in a ball of anxiety for 48 hours, racking our brains about what to do. It all kind of feels like a blur. With the dining room closed and fine dining in doubt, Postmaster became Government Cheeseburger. In its first day, it sold 50 cheeseburgers, the entire run, in less than an hour. After months of slinging sought-after burgers and fast food specials, Government Cheeseburger moved from Cary to downtown Raleigh, cooking out of the Cocktail Bar Foundation and changing its name to Fine Folk. Now, after months there, it's moved into Union Special Bread, existing largely as an idea than a physical restaurant. We learned a lot about convenience, Lopez said. It's possible to do a completely to-go model on a smaller scale that's successful. Oak City Fish and Chips started in Raleigh as a food truck, but has locations in the Morgan Street Food Hall and in Southeast Raleigh off of Rock Quarry Road. Last year, the company shifted brick-and-mortar workers to food trucks and was thankful the takeout trend swung in their favor. Owner Isaac Horton said he had seen the takeout trend rising, but the pandemic changed things immediately. We understood that the convenience paradigm was beginning to reign more and more supreme in food and beverage, said Horton. Companies that were closing had unnecessary real estate and too much exposure and high rent. Horton expects a cabin fever spike in restaurants when people feel safe to dine out, but he said the shift to takeout will endure. Tipping and shifting pay. The Durham diner Monuts ended tipping entirely this month. The counter service spot, popular for breakfast and lunch, has been closed for dine-in since the beginning of the pandemic. but remained steady with takeout service despite bumps and bruises along the way. "We've wanted to go tip-free for a long time," said Rob Gillespie, who co-owns the restaurant with his wife, Lindsay Moriarty. "I think it's something that we would have moved toward eventually, but I think if there was going to be a time, this seems like it was it." With dining rooms closed and table service cut out or cut back, some restaurants have retooled the pay model. Tipping and pay has been a shifting subject for years, as restaurants address the disparities that exist between front-of-house workers like servers and bartenders and back-of-house like kitchen staff. In a statement on its website, Monat said it increased prices 15%, or the average tip diners were leaving anyway. Full-service restaurants are also toying with pay models during the pandemic. The new Durham restaurant Plum added a 15% living wage fee. And Garland Restaurant in Raleigh said wages were raised above minimum wage for tipped employees and tips were redistributed through the restaurant. "This has opened up a way for us to navigate how to make that disparity not exist anymore," Garland co-owner Chidi Kumar said. Wider spaces and outdoor dining. The Wake County man who would become North Carolina's first COVID case had dinner one night at Raleigh restaurant Soka about a week before Governor Roy Cooper closed dining rooms last March. With his restaurant in the headlines of an escalating public health crisis, owner Sean Degnan closed for a couple of days, deep cleaned everything, and then cleaned it again. When Soka reopened, Degnan said generous friends tipped $1,000 and some thought maybe a week of bad press was all that would come of COVID-19. "Even then, we really wished it had just been our problem," Degnan said. "If it could have ended there, it would have been awesome." Degnan's restaurants included Co-An in Cary and large, airy spaces. After a year of maintaining space between tables, Degnan expects those gaps will remain. "Social distancing is here to stay," Degnan said. "I'm never going to be sat right next to another table. There will be a plant or something. I'm not sitting next to someone I don't know." This year, picnic tables were worth their weight in gold. For some businesses, if they didn't have a patio, they didn't open. Others sunk thousands into heaters and sidewalk tables. Degnan expects the golden age of alfresco meals to carry on. "Our patios kept us open," Degnan said. Grocery shopping at restaurants. When grocery store shelves were cleaned out of meat and bulk chicken sales stopped traffic last year, Carboro United pulled together a three-day-a-week online store of Orange County restaurants and food vendors. Starting with four vendors and expanding to as many as 45 some weeks, Carboro United sold everything from entire meals from local restaurants to raw grass-fed beef to olive oil, granola, and eggs. It became a menu of restaurants and a menu of pantry staples at a time when people were concerned about shopping and items were hard to find. "We realized that there's all this food, but the pipeline getting that food to customers had been cut exponentially," said Zoe Damer, co-founder of Carboro United and director of operations at Acme Food and Beverage. "We knew we needed to widen the pipeline locally for food to come through restaurants more." Described as a food hub, Carboro United doesn't expect to end its run, even as people return to restaurants. The latest food drop included options from more than 20 vendors. Dimer said the pandemic has shifted how people use restaurants, shopping for meals or pieces of meals like they would grocery items themselves. Now restaurants are not just where you go out for birthday, Dimer said. People are beginning to look to them to provide an element of a meal that they're going to eat at home. People are getting creative in using prepared foods. That way of thinking of restaurants isn't going away. Take and bake. On Franklin Street and Chapel Hill, Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe is one of Carrboro United's vendors, but owner Vernala Rajendran said the restaurant's cold prepared food sold the most all year. Home life has become very challenging for people, redefining school life and work life. Families wanted to gather around the table but didn't necessarily have the time to shop and cook, Rajan said. Restaurants can be a one-stop thing for people. I think that's here to stay. Community delivery. Durham Delivers took the hub model to the streets, organizing more than 24 restaurants, doing meal drops in Durham neighborhoods throughout the week. One of those restaurants, Durham's Big C Waffles, has always been takeout only, starting 5 years ago as a food truck and recently opening a brick and mortar. Situated near Research Triangle Park, it saw its lunch crowd change from nearby office workers to neighbors working from home. The pandemic canceled major contracts Big C had for 2020, including college campuses and the Dreamville Festival. Still, owner Carl Richardson said business was up 15% from the previous year. People are still conscious of sitting down to eat, but are more comfortable ordering online, Richardson said. It's things like delivery services and Durham Delivers that keep our business going. Delivery services. The steady rise of food delivery services over the past decade became a way of life in the past year. With people isolating in their homes and cutting down on contact, a meal left on a doorstep held wide appeal. Some local restaurants waded into delivery for the first time, with restaurant owners sometimes running the food themselves. But the big names in the food delivery, like Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats, became the way diners picked what was for dinner, scrolling through restaurant options in the apps. David Chu, who has owned Hunan Chinese Restaurant in Chapel Hill for more than 30 years, said delivery services became a necessary middleman despite carrying a 30% fee. We have to look at it as advertising, Chu said. We're not making any money because we're paying the middleman. We're still making it. It's not great, but we're here. The return. With vaccines and dropping case counts, people are returning to restaurants. It may not happen all of a sudden, but in some places, it already looks normal. People will remember their first meal back in the way they remember their last meal out. Everything will shine compared to 2020. Obviously, everything is likely changed forever, Lopez said. I think there will be a resurgence, a new golden age of people sitting down for meals once they're comfortable doing it. Next, Google bringing up to 1,000 jobs for a new cloud hub in Durham. Durham Google is opening a new cloud engineering hub in Durham, the California-based tech giant said Thursday. The company said the office could eventually support more than 1,000 jobs and grow into one of Google Cloud's top five engineering hubs in the U.S., along with the Bay Area, New York, Seattle, and Kirkland, Washington, according to a news release. The company's Google Cloud division will lease space at 200 Morris Street in downtown Durham from Duke University initially and is evaluating several locations for a permanent home, the release said. The jobs will be added over the coming years, said Marion Croak, Vice President of Engineering at Google, in a video that accompanied Google's announcement. A spokesperson for Google said the company is not seeking any incentives from North Carolina for the expansion. The investment in Durham is part of a broader national expansion, according to Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google and its parent company, Alphabet. The company plans to invest more than $7 billion in its offices and data centers across the U.S. this year and hopes to create at least 10,000 new jobs, Pichai said in a news release. I believe a lasting economic recovery will come from local communities and the people and small businesses that give them life. Google wants to be a part of that recovery, Pichai said in a statement. Google has had a small presence in the Triangle before this announcement. Across the state, the company has 600 existing employees and has operated an office in Chapel Hill since 2005. A data center in Caldwell County, built in 2007, represents a $1.2 billion investment in the state, Google said. It's also had a long-standing relationship with the American Underground Startup Hub in Durham. For 5 years, Google has hosted an annual summit for Black-led startups in Durham, providing mentorship to the promising startups led by Black founders. And Lillian Hester, the company's head of external affairs, public policy, and government relations for Google Southeast, has long been based in Durham. I've called Durham home for decades and have long shared with my colleagues that there is something very special about this corner of the world that requires a closer look, Hester said in a statement. Google's growth in the Triangle is a true expression of a shared commitment to innovation and community. In the video announcement, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper and Durham Mayor Steve Shule welcomed Google and praised the decision to grow the company's presence in the Triangle. Silicon Valley helped define the future of the Internet, Cooper said. Durham, North Carolina, will help define the future of cloud computing. Croke said Google Cloud's networking and storage engineering teams will be the first to put down roots in Durham, but other engineering functions will follow. A spokesperson for Google said that Durham will initially be home to 110 employees with a goal of reaching 150 workers in Durham by the end of the year. Google expects to hire the first employee in the next 2 months, and it could reach a headcount of 500 employees by 2023, with most of those employees being new hires from the area, the spokesperson added. The Triangle region is home to highly skilled software engineers, including those with a focus on infrastructure, Croke said in the video. This makes the region an ideal area to recruit and grow our engineering teams. Croke said the company is committed to the local economy and plans to increase workforce development and advance STEM education in the area. Cloud computing has been a growth area for the Triangle for years. Raleigh-based Red Hat has hired thousands of employees in the region in recent years as its business in cloud computing has grown. Its strength in that area eventually led IBM to buy Red Hat for $34 billion in 2019 to compete with companies like Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. Globally, companies are now spending tens of billions of dollars every year on cloud computing. Instead of hosting their own hardware, servers, and data centers, many companies now prefer to let other companies deliver those services over the Internet as it can lead to large cost savings. Google Cloud was the third largest cloud services provider in the world in 2020, holding a 7% market share, according to the IT advising firm Canalys. Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure are the two biggest players in the space, however, with 32% and 20% market shares, respectively. Google's News Wednesday is one of two major announcements about investments and jobs coming to North Carolina. Fujifilm Diosynth, a Japanese contract drug manufacturer, also said it will build a new manufacturing facility in Holly Springs and bring 725 jobs to the area over 5 years. It will represent a $1.5 billion investment in the state by 2025, officials said. I think we will probably see a number of companies on the West Coast and from the Northeast looking at North Carolina, specifically in this field of biotechnology, Cooper said at a news conference. I can see us challenging the Cambridge-Boston area because of our great universities and the workforce that we have. The story was produced with financial support from a coalition of partners led by Innovate Raleigh as part of an independent journalism fellowship program. The NNO maintains full editorial control of the work. Next, U.S. jobless claims rise to 770,000 with layoffs still high. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose last week to 770,000, a sign that layoffs remain high even as much of the U.S. economy is steadily recovering from the coronavirus recession. Thursday's report from the Labor Department showed that jobless claims climbed from 725,000 the week before. The numbers have dropped sharply since the depths of the recession last spring, but still show that employers in some industries continue to lay off workers. Before the pandemic struck, applications for unemployment aid had never topped 700,000 in 1 week. The four-week average of claims, which smooths out weekly variations, dropped to 746,000, the lowest since late November. A total of 4.1 million people are continuing to collect traditional state unemployment benefits, down 18,000 from the previous week, including separate federal programs that are intended to help workers displaced by the health crisis. 18.2 million Americans were receiving some form of jobless aid in the week of February 27th, down by 1.9 million from the week before. The continuing layoffs are occurring even as the overall job market has shown solid improvement. Last month, U.S. employers added a robust 379,000 jobs, the most since October, and a sign the economy is strengthening as consumers spend more in states and cities ease business restrictions. No single factor fully explains the still high level of weekly applications for state unemployment aid. The figures have been clouded by backlogs in processing and by evidence of fraud at the state level. In addition, the expansion of supplemental federal unemployment benefits has likely encouraged more jobless Americans to apply for aid. In addition, last month's severe winter weather elevated jobless claims in Texas, and California has reported an uptick in applications because of layoffs at bars, restaurants, retailers, and other services businesses, all of which have been hard hit by the pandemic. Yet with vaccinations accelerating, hopes are rising that Americans will increasingly travel, shop, eat out, and spend freely after a year of virus-induced restraint. President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package is also expected to help accelerate growth, especially with most adults this week receiving $1,400 stimulus checks that should fuel more spending. an extension of $300 weekly unemployment benefits into early September will provide support too, along with money for vaccines and treatments, school reopenings, state and local governments, and ailing industries ranging from airlines to concert halls. Labor market strains are ongoing, but we expect filings for unemployment aid to start declining as restrictions are lifted and more normal operations resume, Rubelia Farouk, chief U.S. economist at High Frequency Economics, said in a research note. Next, Americans are starting to buy real clothes again. Daniel Stokes breathed a sigh of relief when he got his first coronavirus vaccine. Then he panicked. After a year in loungewear and pajamas, what would he wear when life resumed? He went online and spent $450 on jeans, shirts, cardigans, and boots to tide him over until he figures out what else he'll need. Aside from a few pandemic splurges, including a sweatsuit and sweatshirt from Beyoncé's athleisure line, Ivy Park, that set him back $700, it was his first shopping spree in more than a year. It was like a switch went off and I realized, oh my goodness, I have to go back into the world, said Stokes, 31, a senior manager for an upscale luggage company who has been working out of his Brooklyn apartment for the past year. I can't keep wearing this rotation of old college t-shirts and sweatpants. Consumers are buying, or at least browsing, for clothing and shoes again, signaling growing optimism as life begins itching towards normal. Madewell and Anthropology are seeing a resurgence in dress sales, while Bonobos reports rising demand for suits, dress shirts, and tuxedos. Other retailers say they've noticed growing interest in trendy tops, wide leg jeans, and even resort wear and swimsuits. The revived interest in apparel could be an early hint of the burst of spending that many economists expect to take hold as the country approaches herd immunity more quickly than anticipated and savings rates surge to new highs. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.